There is more love somewhere. I'm gonna keep on until I find it. There is more love somewhere. There is more peace somewhere. There is more peace somewhere. I'm gonna keep on until I find it. There is more peace somewhere. There is more joy somewhere. There is more joy somewhere. I'm gonna keep on until I find it. There is more joy somewhere.
That's banjoist Jamie Stone with the track There Is More Love Somewhere from his soon-to-be-released album Folklife. Inspired by Jamie's exploration of songs catalogued by noted folklorist Alan Lomax for the Lomax Project album, Folklife is a beautiful collection of Sea Island spirituals, Creole calypsos, and Appalachian dance tunes, dusted off and reimagined for modern ears, with the help of a stellar group of musicians. It's a fabulous album, and I'm so pleased to welcome Jamie Stone to Folk Roots Radio today. How are you doing, Jamie?
I'm well.
Great to be able to talk to you. I've got to say, when this album arrived in my mailbox, I was overjoyed. I loved the Lomax album, a fabulous, fabulous album. Having had a chance to catch you live two or three times at festivals, and actually did get to introduce you one time, which was fabulous. It's absolutely wonderful to get new music from you and to see that you're also trying to bring some of these older songs back to life. And what I'd like to do to start off is to get you to talk a little bit about Folklife and why you wanted to continue working with some of the songs that came up from the Lomax work.
Yeah, well, as you well know, Alan Lomax recorded over 35,000 songs, so there's certainly a lifetime's worth of material to wade through. And after making the Lomax Project, I had a list as long as my right arm of songs that we just didn't get to that I still wanted to do. And so it was inevitable that there would be a follow-up record. But of course, in doing research and spending time at the Library of Congress's Archive of American Folklife, I also happened upon the many other folklorists who were doing similar such work, Herbert Helpert and Guy and Candy Carawan and others, and realized that there was, you know, many more arcane corners of these collections and utter understudied sounds yet to be revived, and so I'm always listening and keeping an ear to the ground, and this new collection was kind of born out of my continued curiosity.
Now, I think one of the important things for you is that, and comes through on the Lomax Project and again on the new album, is this really is collaboratory. I mean, you work with some fabulous musicians to bring these songs to life. Can you talk about how important that is for you?
Oh, it's vital, really, to all the work that I do. There's a certain kind of musician that I look for to make music with, and these are people that both have a footing in tradition and have an appreciation for old songs and source material and things, but also are dedicated to honing and expressing and continuing to evolve their own sound so that we can put our own stamp on music. We're not trying to recreate an old way of playing, but bring something new to the table. And so that's very much true of all the people on this record. Morris Smiley and Joe Phillips were both on the Lomax Project record, so we've had a kind of long history together. Sumaya Jackson's a fiddler that I've been playing with the last couple of years, and so my core touring band of the last 2 years is the foundation of the ensemble, and then we bring in some special guests, Dom Flemons, who is one of the founding members of the Carolina Chocolate Drops, Ron Miles, who's one of my favorite jazz trumpet players, who's played a lot with Bill Frisbell, and then some great guest singers, Felicity Williams, who sings with Bahamas and others, and Denzel St. Clair, who's a great Toronto-born jazz and soul singer. So it was a real joy to bring these particular people together. And in some ways, what makes this new record different is, you know, there was some magic to the spontaneous collaborations that happened, you know, having Tim O'Brien and Bruce Molsky and Margaret Glaspie and all these people from slightly different worlds coming together. There was a kind of magic chemistry, though not a lot of history of people playing together. And on this new record, it's a group that, you know, has been playing, you know, 75 dates a year for a little while. And we sort of honed in. So there's a kind of intimacy and connection on this new album that I feel like is really special.
Now, I wanted to talk about one of the lesser-known singers on this album, and that is the singer on the first track we played, There Is More Love Somewhere, and that is, of course, yourself. I know when we talked, I think at a festival a year or so ago, you were talking about the fact that you were starting to sing more in one of the workshops that I was in. I have to say, you do a wonderful job on this song, as indeed you do on another song, which we can't play today. I've played it on this show before. It's absolutely fabulous, and that's that's all right. But I wanted to give you a chance to talk about singing on your on the songs on this album and talk about your singing voice, because it seems like when I listen to you sing now, I don't know, there is something relaxing, calming. I don't know, you almost have an ethereal quality to your voice, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, like I said, I'm new to singing, and it really started in the Lomax Project. And it came when we were doing some of the Sea Island spirituals, where there's a, you know, a big chorus of people doing simple call and answer verses. And, you know, Tim O'Brien was just like, well, you're going to sing, right? And, you know, couldn't say no to him. And so I started singing backup vocals, and I had all these great lead singers, so I didn't really have to worry about that. But to go back, you know, I've for years listened to more vocal music than instrumental music, and it's been a big influence on my music. And I've produced a bunch of pop records, and I have a real love of singing and singers. And yet I either didn't give myself permission, or, you know, just being so focused as an instrumentalist, I just didn't give it the time. And as, you know, this project has developed, I realized that there were some songs that I brought to the table, and you know, everyone is so amazing, but I sort of felt like I couldn't quite find the right voice, you know. We had originally done There Is More Love on a couple of tours, and we tried it with different singers, and somehow I realized that actually I had a way that I was hearing it, and maybe it was high time I just sing the lead. and so I started doing that, and it's been, you know, really empowering in a way to be able to find songs and have a vision for it, and not have to wait for somebody else to kind of realize that vision, but to do it myself. And, you know, I have a deep feeling for this music, and also have been around such amazing singers, you know, standing next to Margaret Glaspie on stage for 3 years, you know, definitely I absorbed something, even if we never talked about singing per se.
Well, certainly you have a very uplifting way of singing, and these songs really do come to life. Now, I wanted to talk about There Is More Love Somewhere, because one of the nice things about this album, like the Lomax Project, is you have extensive liner notes. And one of the things I miss about the digital world is that liner notes are becoming more and more something that you may get, whereas they really do enhance, I think, the listening experience. So on this album, you have like the Lomax Project, some discussion of the song itself. Tell us a little bit about There Is More Love Somewhere.
Yeah, well, it's a song that comes from Bessie Jones, who was born in mainland Georgia, but married into one of the Sea Island communities on St. Simon's Island. And in case people aren't familiar, the Georgia Sea Islands, which also span down to South Carolina, are the place of what's referred to as Gullah culture and music. And this is a very unique and influential form of African-American traditional music and culture, everything from basket weaving to storytelling to ring shouts and game songs to old spirituals. She was just an amazing emissary of this music. And I just really have fallen in love with, you know, basically everything I hear her sing. I think I would love to do that song. And Alan Lomax felt the same way. He recorded her twice down in Georgia, and then also did extensive recordings in New York City when she came to do some concerts. And there's just beautiful interviews where she reaches back and tells the stories of all these songs and where they came from, and, you know, her perspective on life and church and medicinal herbs and raising children and love. And it's really beautiful to hear her kind of talk and break out into song in between. And so on one of these reel to reels is where I first heard There's More Love Somewhere. Reverend Gary Davis does a version of it that's quite different. Other than his, I haven't really heard people do it. So it's a gem.
I'd like to play another track from the album, and this time I want to play a track that highlights a couple of the special guests that are on the album. That's Don Flemons and Ron Miles. And I thought we could play the Buttermilk song. It's a great song. Tell us a little bit about this one.
Yeah, Buttermilk comes from Miles and Bob Pratcher, who were from the Hill Country in northern Mississippi. And I had the great fortune of getting the telephone number of their granddaughter, Esther Mae Wilborn, who's herself a fantastic musician. She still lives down there, right down the road from where that recording was made, and she remembers Alan Lomax and Shirley Collins showing up at their homestead in 1959. She was 9 years old, and it was great to get, you know, kind of firsthand background about, you know, their life and their music. And they were sharecroppers who picked cotton and would play music, you know, after working for the day, and also at, you know, kitchen parties and square dances and things on the weekends. And they were neighbors of a Mississippi Fred McDowell, and used to play with him some. And what's so unique about their music is that it's like what, you know, academics call like proto-blues. It's like before there was the blues form as we know it, and there's still some kind of string band, square dance elements, and there's some almost early jazz elements. And so part of why we picked it was a really simple tune, a really open-ended, but also a chance for us to kind of, you know, show where that tradition kind of branched out in all these different forms of American music. So having Ron Miles play cornet on there was, you know, I think really kind of highlights that connection.
And I think this was also one of the first black string band songs that Don Flemons had actually heard. Just checking on the liner notes here.
Yeah, yeah. Dom told me that when he was in college, he got this LP on New World Records that Alan Lomax had made, and it was the first black string band song, and really kind of got him going. But he'd never recorded it himself before. So when I suggested it, he was like super excited to get to do this. And I should tell you one other funny thing was Ron, Dom, and I had never played together, though I had played with each of them before, and nobody had actually played the tune. You know, we had no arrangement, no plan, and we got to the recording studio, and that was by design. You know, I thought the magic would happen when we all got together, and we kind of sat around and got some sounds, and then we were right about to do a take, you know, our first one, and kind of see what it wanted to be, and Ron said, just so you know, I have to leave in about 15 minutes to go to church. I thought, oh, well, let's just do it. And so we did two takes, and the second take is what you hear on the record. You know, no plan. It just kind of happened all by itself. It was pretty special.
Let's listen to that song now. This is Buttermilk from Jamie Stone's Folk Life, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Long time, so glad. Long time. you, banjo man. Got my banjo in my hand. Carry my banjo across the land. Carry my banjo across the sand. Ooh, John, but you can't come in. Ooh, John, but you can't come in. Ooh, John, but you can't come in. Hey, John.
That's Buttermilk from Jamie Stone's Folk Life. Jamie Stone is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We're talking about the fabulous new album that will be released in early April on Borealis Records. Jamie, I wanted to talk a little bit about the production on this album because, like the Lomax project, and I have to be honest, the other albums that you've produced, and I think this is album number 7, the production on here is lovely. It seems so thoughtful, and I'm curious about the process that you went through. I know you worked with David Travis Smith again on this album, fabulous producer, but tell us a little bit about how you got together on the studio to record this.
Yeah, you know, this is the 7th record I've made with David, and we really have, you know, our whole process dialed in. You know, I think we each bring a really unique skill set to the table, and you know, we basically finish each other's sentences, you know, as it were, as co-producers, and so that's really special, and just allows me to trust that everything's going to be captured in just the right way. He has a beautiful attention to tone and timbre and texture and just the details that make this kind of music feel really natural and organic, and you know, about half the songs were things that we'd been touring for about a year already. And so they were, you know, pretty well developed by the time we got into the studio. And then a bunch of things were really new. And I kind of like that combination of having things that, you know, have been seasoned for a little while and things that feel really fresh, where, you know, really the first time That's All Right had ever come together was when we actually recorded it. And so that feels really special to me. And I think the biggest part of the process for me is really creating an atmosphere in the sessions where people feel like they have a lot of room to express themselves, to experiment, to put their own stamp on things. I try and give the right amount of direction where, you know, my overarching vision is clear, but enough room where people can really just find their way. And then, you know, in post-production, we can really kind of harness, curate the best of what people do. For instance, on the Drunken Hiccups, you know, Maura was singing some harmonies, and I said, you know what, why don't you just forget, you know, singing on the choruses and just go at it, sing right through the tune, yodel, just go wild, you know, let's see what happens. And so she did that, and she kind of went all out, assuming that we were going to take out her laughing and her kind of wild yodels, and we ended up keeping almost everything she did on that take. So I feel like giving people permission to really do what they do is a huge part of how, you know, these records come together.
Well, certainly that expresses it beautifully. I have to say that I do absolutely love the production on this album. Now, you mentioned Drunken Hiccups, which is a song that I know as Jack of Diamonds, and I think it's a song that has several titles. I'd like to play that now, but I also want to give you a chance to talk about it.
Yeah. Jack of Diamonds, Rye Whiskey, the Drunken Hiccups is what Hobart Smith called it, and we hewed pretty close to his version, at least at the beginning and the end. In the middle, I borrowed some verses from Tommy Jarrell. That's a song that's been in my ear for a long time, and actually one of the first songs I started singing when I took that up. And I also sort of transformed it from what's a fiddle showcase piece, you know, with pizzicato and lots of fiddle solos, and tried to find a way to kind of make it at home on the banjo. So I really love how that one turned out.
Okay, let's play that now from Jamie Stone's Folk Life. This is Drunken Hiccups. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
I played cards in England, I gambled in Spain, going back to Rhode Island to play my last game.
Jack of Diamonds, I've known you from old, rob my poor pockets of silver and gold.
Drink when I'm dry, get feeling much better. Gonna sprout wings and fly. Gonna take down my banjo and tune it real low. Make myself welcome wherever I go.
Jack of Diamonds, I've known you from old. Rub my poor pockets of silver and gold.
Thank you.
That's Drunken Hiccups from Jamie Stone's Folk Life. Jamie is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today, talking about the fabulous new Folk Life album, which, remember, is released in early April. And Jamie, I want to talk to you about touring and what happens next as far as this album's concerned. Obviously, it's going to be released. I know that you certainly tour very extensively. In fact, I think it's around 3 weeks a month or something you seem to be on the road. Tell us a little bit about your plans for the coming months.
Yeah, well, just ahead of the CD release, we're going to start touring across North America, and it's quite a big tour, yeah, spread out over several months. We're going to try and hit all our favorite haunts, and we'll be up in Ontario in late April and through the States before and after there, and then at the Winnipeg Folk Festival in the summer. And yeah, usually, you know, when a new record comes out, there's a lot of touring, and it'll hopefully quiet down again in the fall. And I'm determined to start working on a new project after that.
Is there a chance you can tell us anything about the new project?
Well, still way early days, but I have been feeling like I'm ready to make a record of my own songs, and that's likely going to be the next thing, and it'll easily be 2 years in the making, because I have a kind of big vision to make I don't even know how to describe it, but something like a very experimental, like indie rock pop record, but that still has some of the folksy and rootsy sensibilities that runs through all of my work.
Wow, that sounds like something definitely to look forward to. You know, one of the things I love about your music is the fact that, you know, when you pick up a Jamie Stone record, you're going to hear something that a lot of thought went into. And particularly, we talked about the importance of giving people a chance to express themselves, the production, everything else. That's certainly something that we'll definitely all be very excited to see come the light of day. If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
Well, my website is a good start, jamiestone.com with a Y, J-A-Y-M-E. And there's tour dates and videos and soon to be a sneak preview of the new record, Jamie Stone Music, on Facebook and all the other social media channels. And I'd encourage people to come see us play wherever we happen to be nearby, because as proud as I am of the recording, where, you know, there's some really incredible things you get to do, you lift the music up in unique ways in the studio, the live performance is really something quite compelling, especially right now, as we're playing all the music on this new record, it's quite something.
I certainly can echo that, and especially at a festival. I've got to say, the memories of you playing at Mariposa, they'll stay with me for the rest of my life. Absolutely, absolutely fabulous. I'd like to finish with another song from the album, and I want to play Candy Gal. It's actually the first track on the album, but I thought it also works to finish the interview with. So tell us a little bit about this song, and I'd love it if you could introduce it for us.
Yeah, so Candy Gal... it's like a play party children's song that comes from Vera Ward Hall in Livingston, Alabama. And she recorded for Alan Lomax's dad, John Lomax, in the 1930s, and then went up to New York City for a concert and recording session that Alan had put together in the 1940s. And that's where I first heard that song. And yeah, it's really just a beautiful and kind of fun, captivating tune that she sort of sings and shouts. And it's a kind of a perfect way to open the record. And I had so many ideas for how I wanted to do it. You know, we tried it as an a cappella number, and it worked beautifully. And I sort of wrote the melody into a fiddle tune, and it worked like that too. And so we ended up kind of incorporating both of those ideas into this arrangement. And it's often what we use to open shows these days. It's quite lively.
That's great. I'll let you introduce it.
So yeah, this is Candy Gal from my new record, Jamie Stone's Folk Life.
And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. And thanks again, Jamie, for a great interview.
Thank you so much.
I'm riding in a buggy. hurricane.